Welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 Podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun in Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic half a PSI is in Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Half PSI Tyler. They don't call me that for nothing. And joining me in today's episode is Full PSI Jimmy. How are you doing, Mr. Jimmy?
I'm doing good. Nice. I'm doing all right. Mm-hmm. I've got a decent amount of sleep last night. So
good job.
Yeah, which is odd surprising to think about these days since all of our weather systems seem to be coming in at night.
Yeah, right.
We have beautiful non-rainy days and then chaos in the afternoons and late evenings, which
and then like 2 a.m.
Yeah, and 2 a.m. and then like with 60 mile an hour winds, mm-hmm. Crazy amount of rain, mm-hmm. You know, the Doppler is like yellow, orange, and red,
yeah,
going over our houses, thunder and lightning last night. But I went to bed early because I knew the weather system was supposed to hit at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So I got, you know, early bedtime, which was like 9 for me, which I didn't fall asleep until like 10 and till like 4 a.m. So I got a good amount of sleep where other nights I've just been up listening to the rain and wind and waiting for a tree to fall down on my house.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm lucky. I don't have any big trees that if they fell, they would really damage the house. We have a big palm tree in the back, but it's like, those are designed for wind. So
pretty much,
they evolved to live in those atmospheric issues. I'm like, I don't really have a big trees to worry about right around my house, but the neighbor has a metal canopy.
Okay.
Like that is out next to their pool and it went flying.
They still have the top on it.
Yeah.
Oh, those idiots.
Yeah.
We have a metal canopy in our backyard, mm-hmm. That we turn in that has a shade system. So in the summer mm-hmm. you can sit underneath it, you know, and be relaxed in the summer afternoons. Mm-hmm. But usually after one of the first big rainstorms, we take the canopy off. And we just leave the metal structure out there mm-hmm. with some like bricks to hold it down. And I've always been shocked that it doesn't really fly away.
Yeah.
But it with no canopy cover on it, mm-hmm. there's nothing for it to lift off.
Yeah. I will say last night was freaking cool.
It was about 40.
A little warmer, but no, it was really neat. It's been a long time since I've been in like a lightning and thunderstorm.
Yeah.
And so getting to sit there and watch out the window, all the lightning going off all over the place, that was pretty cool.
I almost ran that outside. Very often. Yeah. I was in bed going, I want to watch this. Because usually when I was younger, I used to be able to run to a window and watch mm-hmm. what was going on outside at the window and see what's happening. But there's not really a good viewpoint at the assistant's house.
Oh.
So yeah, didn't go outside and watch any of it.
You'll have to build a little pop-up like bubble into the roof of the new house somewhere.
Yeah, like a lighthouse thing.
Yeah, exactly.
An outlook with a 50 caliber at the top.
Yes.
Shoot my neighbors in the trailer.
Put a paintball gun up there. There you go. Oh, man. Yeah, we've been getting some fun weather here in NorCal. I love it. I absolutely love inclement weather. I don't know why, but I do. So I've been really enjoying the weather we've been getting. I got to go up and play in it this weekend, but we'll get to that in a little bit here.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been enjoying the extreme amount. Like every time, even during summer, we're like, oh, we're going to have another record setting day. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, like we're breaking records. Like nobody's business.
You're just
these
taking
days.
Weather competitively is what you're doing.
Well, I don't have any say in it. Yeah. So you might as well be happy about it. Yeah. It's like, we're getting more rain. I think I want to see, cause we didn't break the record. I think I said on the last, one of the last episodes that we tied the record, mm-hmm. but I think
24 hour period.
Yeah. And from what I saw the other day when I was looking is we didn't actually tie the record either. Mm. We were just underneath the record. It was like 5.2 inches and we got 5.1 inches or something. Wow. Okay. Something really close, but we didn't quite get it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but I'm curious about amount of rainfall in the month of January.
Yeah.
Because I think that we're going to break that record.
There's a lot of it. Yeah.
And I can't remember a cyclone ever happening on the West Coast.
No.
Not that I know of. Yeah. Doesn't happen. We got lucky this time.
Yeah.
I've been having a good time.
It's stoked. I'm loving it. We're making history.
Yeah. One thing that I was really interested in, I really wanted to see if I could get over and watch it happen today, but obviously
we're the levee breaking by your house.
Yes. similar though. The Sacramento River here is really, really full.
Yes.
It's over at my house. It's probably within 10 to 15 feet from the top of the levee now. And it's normally like 40 to 50, 60 feet.
Yeah.
Not 60, maybe 40, 50. The Sacramento Marina, where all the boats and docks are and everything are, they are up at 30. They're planning on it getting up to 37 feet over like what they normally want to see in the marina.
Wow.
And they start calling warnings at 33 feet over.
Okay.
They're expecting it to get to 37. Looking into everything, Sacramento has decided not to open up the weirs yet.
Yeah, that's right.
And the weirs, for those people out there that don't know, a weir is essentially like a gate device that sections off water from two different places, locations, right? So you can think of it almost like a small dam, but it's all gates rather than a dam.
It's sort of an overflow.
Kind
of,
yeah.
When they open the weir up, mm-hmm. it allows the river to spread, allows it to like overflow into another area and
exactly.
lower the amount of water in the rivers.
Exactly. So they haven't opened that up yet. And I'm like, you guys going to do that sometime soon? I think we're going to need to.
Right.
Yeah. The last time the weir was opened was 2017 in that high water year, 2017. But that the Sacramento River, then when they open it, floods out into the Yolo Bypass mm-hmm. in between Sacramento and Davis. And that's what that whole area is designed for.
Right.
For that overflow. And so the river is really high right now. And the weir is like less than a block from my house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the Highway 80 that goes over the river right there at IKEA in my house, right on the north side of the bridge, that's where the weir is.
Oh.
Like within an eighth of a mile from the bridge.
So you can walk up onto the levee and walk down and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I was like, man, I really want to go over and watch them open the weir today. Because that their plan was to open it today. They wouldn't say what time, when they were going to do it, but I was like,
you're just going to bring a six pack and your hammock out, chair. Yeah. And
yes, exactly.
Sit there.
I'll bring the Gazelle T4 and sit in the annex for a while. So yeah, I was like, man, I really want to go watch that because I think it'd be fascinating to watch the river reverse flow.
Or change direction.
Change direction yeah. and how quickly it drains and see just kind of how it all works. So, but I don't think I'm going to get to.
Yeah, no. Yeah. There's too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy outside.
Yep.
It really is. I mean, the amount of trees down, the weather, you know, the amount of pounding rain we've been getting day after day after day. Mm-hmm. I know I'm in the text group with the Slow County Crawler guys and they're all like, they're underwater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were showing their weather, like rain gauges and mm-hmm. they were like 7 inches.
Wow. Yeah,
crazy. Wow. And there's a lake out there. I guess the dam broke.
Oh geez. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. It's just, they're in a world of hate. I just keep getting pictures of houses like halfway underwater.
Wow.
They're like, good thing we're driving 4x4 rigs. Yeah. We can get around. So it's, yeah. The California is just getting bombarded right mm-hmm. now. And it's only going to travel across a good chunk of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I mean, it might make it over the Rockies. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. I do know that, the president has declared state of emergencies in different yep. counties in the mm-hmm. state. So, that'll come into play on Monday's episode.
Yes, it will.
But, yeah, it's really interesting kind of seeing what's going on here. We're okay. Jimmy and I are situated just fine. Seems like a lot of the infrastructure around Sacramento has been doing really well and has held up pretty decently considering they haven't opened up the weirs yet. So knowing that they still can flood the entire Yolo bypass, I'm not really too much concerned anymore about it.
True.
But,
and we've been getting a shit ton of snow.
Yes.
A lot of snow.
I'm so excited.
And since this is a Thursday episode that's coming out before the weekend, they have not canceled Winter Fun Fest.
Mm-mm.
That's still going to happen.
Still happening.
In the middle of a snowstorm, they're going to still do the event. So that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Winter Fun, the official word is that Grass Valley four-wheelers have pre-ran every trail before this last storm front came in. So every trail... right now there's anywhere from 3 to 7 feet of snow on the trails. And they got tracks through all the trails.
Wow.
And then, the next storm, this one that's currently coming through and the one that's going to be coming through that weekend, this weekend, is probably going to drop about another 3 to 4 feet.
Yeah.
So, they said that all the trails are ready to go. The event is still on. And it's going to be an amazing weekend. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm stoked for Cal 4-Wheel for continuously pushing to strive to keep this event going. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have school systems in our area that are closing school down because it's raining.
Yep.
And they don't want people driving to the school to drop their kids off for whatever reason. You know, I just straight up walked the mini assistant this morning in the rain.
Yeah, and here's some rain boots. Go.
Yeah, we did. I was like, here's your umbrella. Here's your rain boot. Put your coat on. We're going to walk.
Nice.
And Cal 4-Wheel is like, yeah, we're still going to have a party.
Hell yeah.
Come on up. Let's have a good time. Let's go snow wheeling.
Yep. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of people outside of the vehicular recreation community that don't understand our mental illness for for wanting to be in stormy weather and loving the inclement weather. It's just like me not understanding Ultra 4 racers. So
true.
It's...
They're just another level of different.
100%. I still respect them though. I'm like, hell yeah, you go do your thing. I don't get it, but you do it, man.
Sure. Yep.
So yeah, there's a lot of fun things going on in NorCal right now. Winter Fun Fest is coming up. And then King of the Hammers is coming up very quickly afterwards. So that'll be fun. The temperatures are dropping down in like Johnson Valley right now.
30 days out.
Less than that, I think. Cause today we're recording on the 10th. And so, I'm going down on the 6th of February.
Okay.
Yeah.
Less than 30 days.
Yeah. So man, it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited. And then after King of the Hammers, hopefully we get to build Kermit.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be exciting. Yeah. Hopefully our parts come in.
Hopefully. We'll see. I'm still excited about it either way. And if they don't come in, I'm buying tracks. So
did you see that video on Instagram of the guy that had tracks and his whole track rotated reversed on itself?
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that sucks.
Yeah. They're awesome for going through snow, but once you start getting in ditches and stuff, they can be a little hairy, a little pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So
I'll say, but they look, I mean, the amount of ground clearance you get is unreal. I don't understand how our little tiny Toyota axles can turn those things.
That's a good question. I mean, they do.
Right.
Yeah. Which goes to, I think that people underestimate the Toyota axle.
Right.
That's what it really comes 100%. Down to. Oh man. Anyways, so this is a Thursday episode.
Yes, it is.
We've got some fun stuff for you guys. We have the giveaway from December, we did not get the payment in time for the recording here that we recorded. So the winners will be announced next Thursday. We might actually get the payment like by the end of day today, maybe. But we'll see. We'll have those next Thursday for everybody. This January is the giveaway. January. Ooh, that's a good one. Why aren't we celebrating January?
I don't know. Everybody does dry January. Yeah. I'm like, fuck you guys.
That is not my New Year's resolution.
My friends that are doing dry January, I sent them a picture of this assistant and I sipping wine, cheersing to them.
Nice.
Here's to you guys. Dry January. Cheers.
Yeah, congratulations on your dryness. So we're doing a couple of the Morflate single tire inflators.
Yeah.
Which are out live on the website.
Yes, they are. They look good. I finally found the link and put it in the show notes.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they came out really good. They look great. They work phenomenally.
I even saw a Facebook ad.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Those came through already?
Yep.
That's impressive. All right. I'll have to stop picking on my Facebook ad company so much. So they are, they're rolling out. They're available. We've already had a few people order them, which has been fun to see. Shops. So cool. Ginsburg Fabrication. Shout out to you guys. And so, yeah, those are live, but we're going to be doing two of the trail kits for January's giveaway for the podcast here in celebration of a new product launching.
Nice. That's exciting. Yeah. I've yet to see them, mm-hmm. but I really want to get one for my shop as well. I think that they would be really nice to have.
Shop setting, they're phenomenal. Trail setting, I'm like, I'd still rather have the quad for trail settings for sure. Sure. But shop settings, they're awesome.
That's how I feel about people that want cup holders in their tailgates. Like you could have a four tire, or you could have a one tire, or you could have a flat tailgate, or a flat tailgate that has cup holders that takes away from the flat tailgate.
Yeah. I already gave you have a cup holder already.
Right.
You want to hold your tailgate now?
Entire tailgate place to put your cup. Why do you need one that has a hole designed for a cup location that ruins the fact that you have a flat tailgate?
Yes.
Because now stuff won't fit on it or sit flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man. Have you run into that recently or was
no, never,
never. good times. Anyway. So yeah. That's the stuff we got going on for January for the giveaway. If you guys want to get signed up for that, make sure you head over to irate4x4 and, get signed up on the Snail Trail 4x4 forum. So there's a couple different sign up options for the, trail tokens and giveaways and, gift boxes will be opening, in 3.5 months here. So,
yeah, we did have somebody just find the Burrow Schmidt token.
Oh, the tunnel?
The tunnel. Nice. Somebody hid one down there.
Was it Trevor?
No.
Okay, good.
Somebody else. I'm not even sure if they listen.
Yeah. They just found it and were like, hey, what do I do with this?
Well, on the back, it says contact Snail Trail 4x4 on Instagram.
Yeah.
And to claim a prize or something like that. Uh-huh. And so we've had a few people that just randomly walk off the trail or randomly go to places, mm-hmm. you know, or randomly find it. Mm-hmm. And they contact us that way. And I go, cool, where'd you find it? And you know, and they're like, I found it over in this area. And I'm like, what do you know what the cords were?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, what cords, you know, what coordinates? I was just in that area.
Yeah.
I had one of them was somebody just hid one off the trail, like at a corner. And the guy was like, no, I had to go to the bathroom. And I like walked off in behind this bush to go to the bathroom. And there was the token was laying behind a rock.
That's
like,
funny. Okay. Nice. Yeah. So, fun times with the trail tokens. There's still quite a few out there. There's a bunch still in Moab that have not been found yet.
Well, in April, we might be hiding more.
Uh-huh. Yep. So yeah, good stuff going on there with things and activities to do with Snail Trail 4x4. Fun thing about iRate 4x4 that's coming up here.
Oh.
Austin from iRate 4x4 is trying to get together with a few Ultra 4 teams.
Yeah.
And put up a radio receiver to intercept and receive the race team's communications.
Okay.
And stream them online through the forum board.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Real That'd time. Be neat. So people can go to iRate 4x4 and listen to the race team comms that are out on the trail and out doing pre-running or whatever they're doing that day, racing.
So there's going to be a bunch of different comm like lines that you can listen to. Like if you want to listen to, I'm just randomly making up numbers here, like 4401, you can listen to that comm here, or 4402, you can listen to that comm here, or 4403, that comm here.
Yep.
And then you can follow along with a race team for wherever you are.
Yep.
Neat. That's really cool.
Yeah. It'll be really cool to see if he can make that happen. I'm just kind of giving him recommendations on hardware to use from down in the lake bed to receive the radio signals. But, yeah, it should be really fun. I'm going to try and get him looped into my repeater that I'm setting up down there because there's going to be two or three race teams using my repeater. So it'll
different
be fun
days.
To different days. Yeah.
Okay.
But it'll be fun to listen in on their race comms too and get that streamed. I think that'd be cool.
Neat.
Yeah. Finally get to listen into what Kevin Jones talks about while he's in a car.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. So anyways, we got that. That'll be a fun thing if we can get that rolling for KOH. So shout out to Austin for kind of coming up with that idea and pushing to make it work here. Let's see, what other updates do we have
Well, do you want to give us a small update on your license plate saga?
Because
when we were last talking, you said that you had a DMV appointment.
Yes, I did. I mean, it's a small update. It's my DMV appointment was to go back and I had to renew my license.
Okay.
Anyways. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's just renew my license and then see if I can tackle getting a replacement plate made and how they're going to handle that. And so I went there and as I was checking in for my appointment, the lady goes, wait, you were here a couple weeks ago, right? And I was like, yeah, I was. And she goes, you had the gun pulled on you, right? And I was like, yeah, I did. She goes,
you had a gun pulled on you at DMV?
No, when I got pulled over.
Like angry customer.
I know, right?
Or teller.
Yeah, those DMV employees, you never know, man. No, and she goes, yeah, did you ever get that figured out? I was like, well, hopefully we're getting a little bit further here today with it all. She goes, oh man, I hope you get that figured out. I was like, yeah, me too. But I did have a listener, James, reach out and he said that he looked at his vehicle registration and same thing. He's got a space in his ham radio call sign on his registration plate is too.
Interesting.
But his plate doesn't have a space in it. So.
Right.
Anyway, so I said, all right, well, if you get pulled over,
here's why,
and you get to explain it. So what my plan of action is to try and get a front plate for the 4Runner and then put it on the 4Runner and then drive the 4Runner down to SAC PD and say, I have both of my plates. Can you guys mark my front plate as recovered and not have it listed as stolen, please? And then hopefully that will then eliminate historical records or anything of K6 TLR, no spaces, in law enforcement's databases. So now whenever I get pulled over, I'll just have to explain why my license plate doesn't show up in their database.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or hopefully it eliminates the record so that when they type it in, nothing shows up.
Yeah.
And right. Then they go, oh, well, I think I need a space.
Yeah. Or something. They'll be more questionative than come up saying, hey, why doesn't your plate show up? Rather than, hey, do you want to explain why this is stolen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So now it's kind of a hurry up and wait kind of thing. Yeah. I've got 2 weeks to wait on my license and they said it could be 30 to 60 days on the plate. So
did you, fill out the paperwork to try to get a replacement plate?
I did. Yeah. And the guy that, was helping me never had heard about amateur radio plates, nothing like that. And he goes, I don't know what to do. And he goes, what kind of vehicle is this going on? I was like, it's just a Class C passenger vehicle. And he goes, how big is it? I was like, it's a 4Runner. Like it's an SUV passenger vehicle. He goes, it's not like a big commercial vehicle, heavy machinery or something. I was like,
oh my gosh, he had no idea.
He literally had no idea. And I was
all trucks are registered commercial.
Right. And so, he had to go get it. He had to go get his supervisor and the supervisor came over and he goes, hey, you were here a couple weeks ago, right? I was like, yes, I was. He goes, did you have a gun pulled on you? You're that guy, right? I was like, yes, I was.
She was that lady. Or you were talking to that lady or whoever.
The supervisor, the guy. Yeah. But anyway, so they got it all filled out. They said getting one replacement plate is not going to be an issue. I won't have to turn anything in. They'll just ship me a replacement plate.
Cool.
So I'm like, okay, cool. We'll see how it goes.
Sweet.
Okay. So that's the update on the license.
So that we're on the wait section of you need to get your license before you go to SAC PD.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So well, good
I think,
times.
I think that's it then for updates.
Cool. Let's see. What were you doing this weekend then?
This weekend I did not do much of anything.
Yeah. Still disassembling a house?
Still disassembling a house. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've ripped the wall apart for the master bedroom that I'm going to move. I've ripped all the linoleum out, took the toilet out, and my sort of, what do you want to call it? My goal is to remove the shower place, or the shower place, the shower.
Okay.
In the fireplace, the shower place, in the bathroom. And so I started doing that. I took the walls down. They pretty much just unscrewed. It was really easy.
Yeah.
And then the back was all tile. So I phoned a friend and I said, what's the best way to do this? And he pretty much was like, knock the tiles off the side and the tiles off the bottom, and then just stick a crowbar in there and pry it and see if you can just break the whole backing board off.
Okay.
It'll be heavy. Mm-hmm. So get ready for it, or don't break it all the way. Uh-huh. And yeah, I was pretty much able to do that. It came apart in 4 pieces and they were manageable. And so I just snapped all of those off and they were all still assembled minus the few tiles that I had to break off to break it free. So I was able to move that out of the way. And now that all that's really left in the bathroom is the shower pan, which I cannot figure out how to get the drain for the shower pan separated from the drain of the house.
Interesting.
And talking to my parents, I think that shower pan has been in that room since like the early to mid 70s. And I called my buddy who does a lot of construction work, a good handyman kind of guy. I said, how do I separate this? And I sent him like 5 photos and he's like, I've never seen a drain look like that before.
Huh.
I'm not quite sure how it all works, but what it looks like is piece of PVC pipe comes up for the drain. And then it's glued into a metal ring that is inset into the fiberglass shower pan.
Huh. Okay.
And I don't know how you glue plastic to metal.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's something back in the day that did it, or it snapped into place and had some like foam thing that didn't let water through that's now hardened.
Mm-hmm.
But being like over 40 years old, maybe almost 50 years old at this point, it's rock solid.
Huh.
So I'm just going to take an oscillating saw and literally cut around the shower pan, around the drain.
Yeah.
And so then I can pull the pan off and then I could leave that there until I figure out where I need to move the drain.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the problem that I'm trying to overcome right now, is just how to get that drain apart so then I can pull that shower pan off.
Gotcha.
Also, the mini assistant has been loving ripping wallpaper off the walls.
Good.
Yeah. So I just got a little spray bottle and have been misting the walls, like sort of ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave her a putty knife and she's just been going to town removing wallpaper.
Uh-huh.
So it's hilarious because she had Monday off because they didn't have school on Monday. Not because of the weather, just it was a teacher day. And so she came over and she worked for like an hour ripping wallpaper off of a wall as high as she could reach and the length of the wall. It was pretty fun. It was kind of cool to hang out with her and let her just go to town on it.
Yeah.
Just rip things. You know, she was getting like using her nails and picking little things to like pulling huge chunks off and she was having a blast. So it was pretty cool. So next Monday, we've got like 3 more walls that have wallpaper. So next Monday when she comes over to my parents' house for after school time, she's going to come over and we got like an hour. We'll do some more wallpaper work and then eventually we'll be done with all that.
But nice.
I thought it was fun to get her involved and let her somewhat do some destruction, you know, and make as big as a mess as you want.
Yeah.
Kinda, you know, and rip it up. Don't gouge the walls. Mm-hmm. I have 2 rules. Don't gouge the wall with the putty knife. Don't use the edge and try to carve something out.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does use the spray bottle, don't spray too much so that the floor gets wet because we have hardwood floors and we don't want them to get wet.
Yep.
So otherwise I'm like, yeah, go to town, rip as much as little as you want off and just have fun.
Nice.
So, yeah. Those were the 2 big things in regards to the house that is going on. But I did find a speakeasy in Roseville.
I saw that and I was highly upset that you didn't invite me.
I didn't know I was going there until I went there.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's staged as a candy shop.
Okay.
When you walk off the street, you walk into, they call it like an old town or old time a candy shop. And they've got like, remember that like what big chew gum? Or whatever they called it.
Like stuff that Chris had when he was a kid?
Yeah. Okay. Everything that Chris had it candy-wise when he was a kid, they've got a whole store of that.
Okay.
And it's all based kind of off Willy Wonka stuff.
Okay.
You know, there was like a lot of Willy Wonka candy bars. But what was funny was because when we were there, when we were looking at the candy, you look behind the cash register and it's an attractive young lady wearing somewhat of a risque like dress
for a candy store.
And you're like, why is this person like dressed like that as a cashier of a candy store? And
something seems off here.
Something seems off. Right. And the candy store,
put my finger on it,
right,
literally and figuratively,
right, is about the candy store is about the size of this room that we're in.
Okay.
So what is this? 15 by 20?
Yeah. Yeah. About that.
Somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these stores go for like,
really
100 feet, 150 feet deep,
Uh-huh.
or it may be even wider. And we're like, okay, what is behind here? You know? And so we start questioning a little bit, like, is there some sort of like prostitution thing going on here? Like what's happening? And then, we went up to the register and we knew the code word. We didn't quite know if we were in the right spot. And so we used the code word to get into, to ask, we said, hey, can we get two of these code words, please?
Uh-huh.
And the lady's like, yeah, I will seat you guys in a moment. And we're like, oh, okay. And then she pulled this key out from behind the counter and opened this, what looks like a walk-in fridge.
Okay.
And she let the two other people, these two guys that were in the candy store, let them into the room behind the fridge. Uh-huh. And once you open the door, I'm like, yes, this is it. This is like 50s or like 20s sort of style decor room in the background.
1920s.
Yeah, 1920s decor room.
Chris's 20s.
Yeah. Prohibition style.
Yeah.
Set up. And shortly later we got sat and, you know, she pulled the key back out and opened it up. We walked in and we were greeted by a guy and he's like, hey, you know, where would you like to sit? We're pretty open. You know, you can sit at the bar, you can sit at one of these tables, or you can have a high top. And we're like, well, sit at the bar. We'll talk with the bartender.
Yeah.
And so we sat down at the bar, fell into a good conversation with the bartender, found out he went to Cal State Monterey Bay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm like, when'd you graduate? He's like, 2013. I'm like, oh, I'm way older. Never mind. I was like, never mind. And so, yeah, we talked, you know, I was like, yeah, I was there during 9/11. And he's like, oh, wow. How was that? You know? So, but for those that don't know, Cal State Monterey Bay used to be Fort Ord. Mm-hmm. And so it was a military base and I was fairly new on the campus from when the campus turned from the military base to the CSU campus. And so when 9/11 happened, they literally shut down campus and reinstated it as a military base.
Oh no shit.
Yeah. And so you were only allowed on campus with a military ID or a student ID. Otherwise you couldn't come onto campus.
Wow.
So yeah, it was kind of I didn't know that. Yeah. And that like military all of a sudden boom was in and like they're taking over everything. We're like, oh, what the hell's happening?
Jeez.
So that was fun. So we talked about that. We talked about a bunch of things. The drinks were good.
Okay.
They were elaborate. They had a lot of things, like a lot of different styles.
Did they specialize in anything as a bar or was it just kind of a little bit of everything?
It was a little bit of everything.
Okay.
They have maybe quite arguably, well, the best whiskey collection in Roseville. I don't know if they beat Locked Barrel or Locked.
I can't imagine anybody beating Locked Barrel.
Is it Locked Barrel?
It's, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Something.
The one downtown Sacramento that has an outstanding collection.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have as many whiskeys as Monk's.
Okay.
But they have better, higher end whiskeys than Monk's.
Okay. Gotcha.
And a lot of their drinks were quite eclectic of different types of mixes. And I'm not a gin fan, but I had
it is January.
I know. I had a Ramos Fizz and they added egg whites. I don't know if that's typical in a Ramos Fizz. It was fantastic.
Really?
I was like, I asked the bartender, I said, what do you specialize in? Uh-huh. He's like, I make a really good Ramos Fizz. And I said, I'll take it. And then I was like, what is a Ramos Fizz?
Yeah,
and I started looking it up on my phone and I was like, oh, it's gin. We might need to switch, babe. And she's like, okay. And so, but I sipped it and I was like, holy cow. Like this is outstanding.
Mm, okay.
And then, I ordered a golden ticket, for my next drink, which is kind of like there's a lemon juice whiskey. And it's sort of like a hot toddy. It was sort of like a hot toddy, but it was cold. They added an egg white into it also. And it had a dollop of honeycomb
in
it, which was kind of neat.
That's fun.
And then the assistant had something basic on her first run, but the second drink she got was you're turning violet. And so a lot of the Willy Wonka carried from the candy shop into the speakeasy.
Nice.
And so it was a lot of fun. Uh-huh. Had a good time. Their drinks, however, are expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're the lowest end drink, I think, was $17.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then the next level up was like $19. And then they had like the Boss Hog, like Whistle Pig, the guys that do Whistle Pig. And, they had the Boss Hog version. And it was like $150 a shot.
Wow.
Yeah. It was nuts. And so we had a good time. The atmosphere was fun. Mm-hmm. The bartender that we were talking with was a nice guy, and we fell into a fun conversation with him. He actually gave, he said, I told him, like, I just ordered two gin drinks and I really don't even like, well, the other drink I ordered wasn't gin, but the You're Turning Violet, Violet was gin. And I said, I just drank two gin drinks and I don't even like gin. And he was like, I have a drink for you. And so he made us another drink and gave it to us on the house so I could try a gin drink.
Okay.
And I was like, I appreciate that. I don't really like it. It was too florally or too junipery or something for me. Uh-huh. And so he's like, no, I appreciate it. And so we had a great time, but our, we had four drinks. Tip was included and our bill was like $88.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not going to be a place we frequent, but it would be a fun place to take friends every once in a while. They're also, I think they have a steakhouse open, or they're opening a steakhouse like soon, and they're doing one sitting. They have like five tables and there's six people sat at a table. And if you, you like could, oh, I want to come, you know, I'm going to go and there's two of us. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to sit at a table with other people. Yeah. With four other people or some combo of that. So it's kind of neat that, and it's a fixed menu. Did I say that? So you, you're just getting whatever they're making that night.
Yeah.
And you have no choice and they're just bringing it out family style sort of a thing. So it's really interesting concepts and it was a fun place to go and visit and be able to talk about, but yeah, we're probably not going to go back very often.
Yeah.
We might go back every, you know, if somebody friends in town, we'll take them to a speakeasy or something.
There's apparently one down in Sacramento.
Oh,
somewhere too.
They seem to be popping up quite a bit.
Yeah. The assistant, the secretary knows, apparently where all the speakeasies are in the Sacramento area. And I was like, why the fuck haven't you, we've talked about this.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll share my location if you guys will share yours.
I don't know where it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well then, secretary.
Yeah. You got to get it out of her. Well, so anyways, that was cool. When I saw that pop up, I was like, oh my God, secretary, there's a speakeasy in Roseville. She goes, yeah, I know. I was like, what? What do you mean you know? She goes, yeah, I know. And I was like, it's at this place. And she goes, yeah. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. A few days later, my mom comes walking out with like a newspaper clipping. Uh-huh. She's like, there's a new restaurant in Roseville. You know, and I was like, oh, is it the speakeasy? She's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I've been there. She's like, aw. Like, I wanted to tell you about it. But nice. Yeah, I had a fun time talking to the bartender about how, and I've said it on the podcast, like around Thanksgiving, that my grandfather ran an illegal wine cellar.
Okay.
Was selling wine illegally during the Prohibition.
Uh-huh.
And got arrested for it and went to jail. And so I was fun telling the bartender that story that, yeah, illegal drinking areas runs in my family. So it's a good thing that I'm here.
Yeah. Nice. That's cool, man. I definitely want to get over there and check it out.
Yeah. So, let's do it.
Okay.
I'll show you where.
Yes.
I won't tell you the code word though. Oh, I'll just tell them.
I just got to go in there and start guessing and guessing and guessing until they kick me out.
I'll give you a hint. It's on the door.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
I know how to Google.
Yeah. It probably has the code word.
Yeah.
Not that much of a speakeasy. They still want to make money.
Yeah, true. Well, cool, man. Speakeasies are always fun.
Yeah.
Watching your daughter rip up walls is always fun.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else that fun that you got to do? Playing in the weather, the wind, or the rain, the storm, I did crawl up on the
roof on one night just because one of our gutters was overflowing. But I did drag Bobcat into the shop between storms.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a little bit to get it going because it was parked outside. I had to jump it with another car again. But I got a battery. I got an excess power battery. But it doesn't come with terminals for the top of the battery.
You put your own in?
Yeah, so I have to put my own in. So I ordered those up. Those should be coming soon. And then I ordered up inner axle seals for the front axle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called both Marlin and Trail Gear to ask if I could just buy seals.
Yeah.
Or gaskets.
Yeah.
Because I don't need...
So the knuckle gaskets.
The knuckle, okay. Yeah. So there's a gasket between the hub and the spindle.
The hub assembly.
Yeah. Then there's a gasket between the hub assembly and the spindle, and then the spindle and the knuckle.
Yep.
So there's three gaskets, but nobody sells them individually.
Okay.
And I ran, like I called Marlin, called Trail Gear. I went to O'Reilly's. I went to Napa, and Napa sells a replacement, like a fix kit.
Uh-huh.
And it comes with a lot less things than Marlins and Trail Gears has.
Okay.
But it still came with the gaskets I needed, but it comes with those little spacer plates for the knuckles, for the trunnion bearings.
Those are great to have.
Yeah. I don't need those. I got trunnion bearing eliminators.
Okay.
So I don't need to pull that apart.
Uh-huh.
Right. I don't need to have like, and plus I have six shooters. So those four ones don't do me any good.
Mm-hmm.
It also came with, the wipers on the back.
Okay.
And felt, which I will reuse the felt, but I have the upgraded like wipers,
the heavy duty wipers
that trail safe wipers or whatever they are. What else did it comes with that I didn't need? I think it comes with all the parts on the backside of the knuckle, which I don't need.
Yeah.
And so it did come with additional things, but a lot of that I don't use. So I scanned on a scanner, the three gaskets.
Okay.
And I purchased gasket paper off of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to start cutting my own gaskets on the lasers.
Nice.
So that way, if I need to just get gaskets another time, I can
just make your own. Now.
Just make my own from now on.
Yeah, cut them yourself.
And so I'm considering just cutting a whole bunch of these and possibly just throwing them up on the Snail Trail website so that other people that are in the same box as me, where you don't need all this other stuff that comes in these kits, you just need the gaskets. I'll have that available for people.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'll be really neat. I know Lee had posted on his Instagram, the solve function one. He goes, anybody have any unobtainium gaskets you want to get? And I was like, I just talked with Jimmy about this yesterday.
I saw that. I said, I'm doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, I think the kit from like Marlin or Trail Gear is like $100 for their like, you know, it comes with the bearings.
Complete knuckle rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, like their basic rebuild.
Oh, it the comes basic like one.
Okay. Their bearings and so the gaskets and the knuckle back end side of the knuckle and the trunnion bearing spacers and a few other things is somewhere like $100. Pretty much that exact kit minus a one or two things maybe from Napa was like $38.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of in this boat of like, even if I do cut my own gas, depending on how much I can charge for three gaskets, it might be worth people just go buy this $38 thing from Napa.
Yeah. Could be. Especially if they have it in stock near them. So
yeah, they did in my case.
Nice. So yeah, I've always thought that was an interesting idea of taking, you know, gaskets that you need and then just scanning them, creating a 1-to-1 scale DXF file, and then just uploading it onto a laser.
Yeah.
And cutting them out of your own gasket paper.
Exactly.
I tried to do that without a laser. I kind of just got the gasket paper and cut it with a knife kind of thing, according to the shape that I needed. And it didn't hold at all.
Oh.
But then again, I think it was also because all the oil was coming out of the breather. Because I was trying to do it on my transfer case shifters, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it didn't hold at all. And it was just leaking everywhere. But I think that was mainly because it was coming out of the breather.
Yeah. So you might have solved the problem, but it was still leaking due to another problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, that the T-case adapters is definitely one of the items that I'm probably going to scan and do, because when you order a master gasket repair kit for your transfer case, and if you have dual case adapters, it doesn't give you an extra gasket for the other side of the adapter.
Yeah.
So you buy this master kit and you're already one gasket down.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And that's another gasket that I'm going to probably scan and make. And it'll be easy to do. And the center of it, I can probably just add another, because there's going to be a center void that's not going to be used. Yeah. I can probably throw a hub gasket or something.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that'll be really cool to kind of see that happen, see how it comes out.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it out. I'm gonna test it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll catch on fire. Gasket paper isn't super flammable, is it?
No, and I don't think you really need that much power to get through paper.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think it's more of a matter of very low speed and fast movement,
and have your air assist up to blow out all the flames.
Blow it out, and it'll probably scoot right along.
Yeah,
that's probably. Won't be very difficult. I just need to find a setting that won't catch my laser on fire.
Yeah, that's I agree. So yeah, it'll be fun to see how those turn out.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Lasers are just fun to me. Like,
yeah,
like there's so many different uses, but you never know what they are.
Yeah. I was talking to Brett from, to Brad from Hot Metal Fab and he just ordered a laser.
A big one.
A big one though.
They're looking at getting through 1-inch plate, I think.
Yeah. I think I said, oh, you can get through like 3/4 with that. He's like, I think I can get through 1-inch.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, that's huge.
Yeah.
So he's got some big plans going on with that, but it's just was fun to talk to laser talk with him. And I'm talking, you know, I have knowledge of these, like, oh, I've got a 80 watt and you got a 3000 watt or whatever it is, you know, 3K or whatever, however he said it. But yeah. But you're still talking the same thing. You know,
it's the same concepts are all there. You're just using more power.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And maybe a different power source.
True.
For fiber.
True.
So. Yeah, man, that's cool.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
That's enough about me.
Okay.
Let's transition over to you.
My favorite part of the show.
Your favorite part of the show.
Just kidding.
I'll just cut this last part out there of the editing process.
Yeah. But, the last like 20-25 minutes, we just, you know, edit that out.
That's fine too.
Just kidding.
So I want to know how the snow was.
Oh my God. Snow was amazing.
I saw a bunch of videos go up. I've been tagged in a bunch of videos.
Yeah.
I was tagged by some person. I don't really know who they are, but they were wearing a Wheeling Wine and Whiskey hat.
Yeah, that was weird. I told her she needs to burn it.
Yeah.
And she pretty much said that it's the only hat she has in the JL, in the Jeep. And I was like,
you need another one? We got a bunch of hats over there we could give you.
Right? So we'll see. I'm still working on that one, telling her that she needs to get rid of that one. But
yeah. I'll pay you to get rid of it.
There you go. No, that was Ozzy and his girl, Kelly.
Oh, got it. Yep. That was them in the Jeep?
Yep, that was them in the JL. And so Saturday, Ozzy came over. And we programmed a bunch of his radios for the Wix Family Racing WFR team. And so we set up their radios to be encoded. So now that they won't hear anybody else that gets on their channels.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So it won't stop other people from hearing them.
Right.
But it'll stop them from hearing other people.
Got it. That's cool. Mm-hmm. What if two people are trying to transmit at the same time?
On that channel, it'll just come through just fine.
Oh.
Yeah. To one person listening, it's just going to sound like two people talking.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have a third person listening. Where you get that like garbled noise when two people are talking is on repeaters when you're running duplexing off of one repeater, one transmitter. Yeah. But two transmitters transmit at the same time. Should be just fine. Hopefully we're setting it up so that their team won't hear other teams that happen to be using that frequency as well.
Smart.
Yeah. So we got that all done, programmed up a bunch of his radios. And then, he left me with a couple other radios I need to go find programming software for the commercial radios they have from PCI. So once I get that software, hopefully we'll get it all programmed. We came up with a plan for them to take my repeater down there and take it up and set it up on Fisher. Once they get down there.
Okay.
That way they'll have it out there for pre-running and checking to see, you know, where does the signal get out to in all the different canyons. So that they can know when they've got radio coverage and when they don't have radio coverage for the race day. So they're going to take it down there, set it all up. And so kind of next on my to-do list is to take the repeater to Ozzy over at Stellar Built while he's on his lunch break and set it up in the road and show him how to set it all up. So we'll get that done. So that was Saturday, kind of coming up with that game plan and figuring all that out. Sunday, we went up and we really wanted to get some snow wheeling in.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
On my original plan was I was supposed to go up with Rubicon Trail Foundation on Sunday, meet up with Ken Hauer, the current president, and John Arnes.
Yep.
And shoot a series of videos, educational videos. About what should you do, consider, prepare for to do snow wheeling on the Rubicon. And looking at the weather on Saturday, it looked like we were just going to have storms all day Sunday and like 20 to 40 mile an hour winds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And winds don't do well when you record, or recordings don't do well when it's windy.
No, not really.
Yeah. So we nixed that idea. And that's when I called Ozzy and I was like, you still interested in getting out of the house tomorrow? He goes, yes, we are. And so I was like, perfect, let's go. So we went up and it was me and Kermit. And then MF or Ryan came up
In his 4Runner?
In his 4Runner, yep.
Okay.
And then Ozzy and Kelly came out in their JL. And Dimitri came out in the third gen Tacoma that they just flatbedded with the utility bed.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Or as the Aussies like to call him, he brought out the Ute.
The Ute.
Yeah. So it was us four in those four rigs. Ryan had a passenger with him and Dimitri had his daughter with him, the 6-year-old.
Oh, fun.
So that was fun hanging out with them. We went up to and met at the Fresh Pond Chevron and then went up to decided we were going to go up to Wright's Lake.
Okay.
See if we can get up to Wright's Lake Reservoir. Right. Mm-hmm. And up at Wright's Lake, there's a gate. So I was like, hey, if we get it to the gate, then we can hang out and go hike in and go out and check out the frozen lake. If not, then, you know, we can, if we don't make it to the gate or whatever else, then we can either just make it as far as we make it and then come back down to the highway. Or there's a sweet little like 10-mile road that goes from Wright's Lake Road over to Ice House Road.
Oh,
and goes right by Ice House Reservoir. And so, I was like, we can take that road too. Just depends. We have a lot of options depending on what happens throughout the day, what the time looks like, if we're done of hanging out in the middle of the storm all day, whatever it is. And so, we went up that way and the snow level was all the way down at the highway.
Oh, wow.
So, when we first came up on the turn for Wright's Lake Road, I missed the turn because the snow plows that plow the highway, had built up a little berm right there. And I just completely missed because I just looked like a snow berm and I missed the whole turn off for Wright's Lake Road.
Oh no.
So I went like a mile past it and I was like, this isn't right. So I turned around. We all pulled a UE in the middle of the highway, Highway 50 up there by Kybers. And then came back down. And as soon as I found the turn, went up and over the berm in two-wheel drive, went up the road as far as I could in two-wheel drive, then stopped. And it was just enough room for everybody to get off of the highway. But like, we were still pretty much airing down, like right there on the edge of the highway.
Wow.
Which was a little nerve wracking.
That's pretty neat though.
Yeah.
So were tracks cut?
No. Nope.
Or were you guys were cutting fresh tracks up Ice House Road?
Up Wright's Lake?
Oh, Wright's Lake, Wright's Lake Road.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was yes and no. So we were cutting fresh tracks, except that some snowmobiles had been up that way before the previous storm. So there was some snowmobile tracks underneath fresh powder.
Okay.
And so there was about 2 feet, a foot and a half of fresh powder. And then 3 to 4 feet of snow underneath the snowmobile tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And, the fresh powder on top was that really cold, crunchy stuff that like as it will pack in, but it's like cold. So you have to get it to pack first, but once it does pack, you're okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I aired down to 3 PSI and I was on the biggest tires. So I was going to be breaking trail all day. And I was like, this is awesome. I'm excited for it because now I really get to put the Yokohama Geolander MTs to the test, the real test of what I really would expect snow tires to see how they behave. Right. And so I aired down to 3 PSI and we started going up the hill and it was slippery underneath that like foot and a half, 2 feet of powder. It was pretty iced up because we had that series of warm storms
come through
that dropped all the rain.
Yeah.
So there was a kind of layer of ice in between the two snowpacks. And so
that's when avalanche conditions are bad.
Exactly. Yeah, that is. So we were going up, MF Orion aired down to 10 PSI. Ozzy was at 10 and Dimitri went to 8. And so we're all going up and MF Orion was having troubles within like the first mile. And so I pulled off to show everybody where this sweet little winter camping area is. And so we went up in there and Ryan stayed back and aired down to, I think 5.
Oh, wow.
Is what he went down to. And he's on the 35-inch Patagonias. And then after he went down to 5, he didn't have
no beadlocks.
No beadlocks. Yeah. And so he went down to 5, didn't have too many issues after he went down to 5. I stayed at 3 and everybody else stayed at their current pressures. And we went further up the road. And as it started getting deeper and deeper, I mean, you're just going uphill for a while on Wright's Lake. I was like, man, this isn't working the way I would expect my tires to work in the snow, the way I expect them to be.
Okay. And, why? What was happening?
The treads were getting clogged with snow. And they weren't unclogging to get traction. Mm. And so anytime you get snow buildup in the treads of your tire and you spin on ice, it's like ice on ice.
Yeah, you're driving on a slick.
Exactly. And so the only way to continue moving forward is to have it up in like 2,500, 3,000, 3,500 RPM so that the snow was flung out of the tread. But by doing that, running 3,000 RPM, going uphill, breaking trail, the engine was overheating.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh. So remember what we talked about in the last episode, things to kind of be cautious about and make sure things are good when you're going snow wheeling.
Yep.
Overheating is a big issue because you don't have airflow.
Correct.
You don't have airflow over your radiator. So it's very easy to start overheating. And I was starting to overheat. So we kind of took a 2 minutes, 3 minutes to sit there and let the rig cool back down and then continued up. We got to a point where I was just like, man, I'm having to take a running start, hit the berm and just go about a vehicle length and then back up and do it again, get a vehicle length, back up, do it again, get another vehicle length. I was like, this is going to take all day long. It's not going to be fun for anybody behind me. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to air down further. That way, see if I can get, because the tires also weren't really pooching at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting the flotation I wanted, and I wasn't getting the traction I wanted either.
Load rating? Load rating,
those
are they?
D's.
They're D? Okay.
Yeah. And so they weren't really pooching. I wasn't getting traction. I was like, well, let's go lower. Let's figure out where these tires start performing. And so I went down the gauges, the Morflate gauges read 1 to 150, and I went below 1.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what I was at, but it was sub 1 PSI.
Wow.
Before the tires started pooching the way I would want them to in the snow. Okay. I don't know, man. I still go back and forth as to how much the 4Runner actually weighs. So I don't know. I'm curious. Well,
mainly because you had to air down so far. If you thought the 4Runner weighed more, you wouldn't have to go down so far.
Exactly. Yep. And I'm like, and yet I still feel like I take a bunch of crap with me when I go off-roading more than most people. And so I think that I'm heavy, but according to all the tires I run on the 4Runner, I have to go really low pressures to get them to behave the way I want them to.
Sure.
So, anyways, I need to scale the 4Runner. I think it'd be fun to do, but, I had to go down below 1 to get the tires to pooch out the way I wanted to. Which means then as they pooch out and the tires deform, as they get to the bottom of the rotation and the ground, that deformity breaks the snow loose out of the tread.
Right.
And so as you come back up out of the deformity, your tread is clear, off of the ground. And so then the tire rotates around. When it gets back into the ground, you've got traction again from a clear tread. So, at half a PSI, I'm guessing maybe half a PSI, I don't know. I was able to break trail just fine. Didn't have to spin any tires. I stayed, God, it was impressive. Like 6 to 7 inches higher in the snow.
Really?
Yeah.
So just because of the bigger footprints.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really, I was very impressed with the amount of difference going from 3 PSI to half a PSI was. So, at that point also, once I did that, because like before, cause I was sitting down lower in the snow, my axles were trimming some of the top of the snow off in between, my tires, the diffs. Uh-huh. Once I had a little bit more flotation, my axles weren't trimming anymore off. And Dimitri was right behind me in the Tacoma on 35s. And so he's quite a bit heavier than the 4Runner is with less flotation. And so he was now all of a sudden just started getting stuck every time because he would just get high centered because I wasn't trimming the tops of the trough off anymore.
Should have put the Jeep in there.
Right. And so that's eventually we did do that, but it got to the point where, I was like, you know what, D1, let me just give you a tug off of here. And so I went from, you know, spinning, having difficulty progressing on my own to, I just kind of pulled him off of the high center he was on and then kept going and breaking trail with him attached to me. And so it would get to the point where he would kind of like sink real quick and get stuck, or he would build up a snow berm in front of the Tacoma. And I would just continue breaking trail and just pull him through the snow berm.
Oh my gosh.
That's how much traction I had. The difference in 2 PSI.
Yeah. Made. And he might be able to air down more, but then the thing is,
you lose ground clearance if you air down more.
But would he?
He didn't lose much. Well, yeah, because I floated more. Exactly. That's a good question. He did go down to six afterwards. And he did do better. He got a lot more traction and was actually doing, he was able to push through a lot of the berms after that. But it was still, I mean, once we got to the top of that grade and it levels out and you start heading back to Wright's Lake.
Yeah.
It was a solid 3 feet of snow that we were going through all day long, a fresh powder on top there, maybe three and a half at the most. But at one point we stopped and had lunch and Dima was messing around and he sunk a full 35 inch tire.
Yeah, in the snow. I think I saw that photo.
I mean, that's 36 inches, 3 feet. Yeah. So, it was fun to do. After lunch, we switched up the order and put me in front, and then put Ozzy behind me with the 37s and then Dima and then Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
And, doing it that way, we had almost no issues the rest of the day.
Okay.
So was able to go through and kind of cut the tracks. Ozzy came through behind me and knocked the tops off of the center part with his diffs.
What axles is he running?
He's running the stock, the Rubicon 44s.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was wondering if he was running wontons or...
Not yet.
Okay.
Kelly did just give him permission to put wontons on the Jeep though. So
she wants bigger tires, yes, huh?
She does.
Yeah. She saw your 40s and got jealous.
Uh-huh. Everybody gets jealous of those 40s. They're fantastic. So anyways, once we switched up the order, it wasn't too bad. We were able to make quite a good progress. Not too many slowdowns. Every once in a while, because Ryan is open, Dima at least is locked front and rear in the Tacoma. But Ryan being open, he just kind of shout out over the radio, "Hey, wait, need a pull." Yeah. And Dima would back up real quick, pull him loose, and then go. And if Dima got stuck, Ryan would pull him backwards. Okay. So like Ozzy and I were just like, "Oh, let's just keep going."
Right.
they got themselves. So anytime that happened, I just put it into low and would just let the rig crawl through. And when I put it into low and crawled, I stayed another like 3 inches higher in the snow than if I was in, you know, second gear in the 4.7, just driving through it. Yeah.
Cause it was compacting more.
It was allowing the snow to pack rather than just pushing into it.
Got it.
Yeah. And so that was really fun. Getting those tires down to the half PSI mark, one PSI maybe, phenomenal. That's how I expect a tire to behave in the snow.
Okay.
Traction for days. It didn't seem like there was a few times when like I would fall into a really soft hole because I mean, technically 2 to 3 feet down was the snowmobile tracks that I was trying to stay on top of as much as I could. But you get 1 foot on either side of those snowmobile tracks and I would just sink the side of the 4Runner.
Okay. Yeah.
So, because there's another 3 to 4 feet of fresh powder under that.
Right.
And so, as soon as I would sink a side of the 4Runner, I was able to back out every single time without any issues. And then just kind of reposition and get back up on the snowmobile tracks and go. But there was a couple times we got into a kind of a big open area and the snowmobiles there, it looked like there was 3 of them. They would kind of like spread out.
Yeah. So
there was no like 3 tracks wide enough for us to follow as vehicles. And so I was like, well, we just got to plow through 5-6 feet of snow now to get through this area until all the snowmobile tracks converge back together. And so in that area, it got dicey and I don't think I've ever been that close to rolling the 4Runner in snow before.
Oh,
there's some impressive videos of me just getting almost laid over completely sideways in the snow, but continuing moving forward and then leveling out and coming out of it. You just find a soft spot in there. You're just like, well, just keep going.
Yeah.
See what happens.
So did they follow you?
Yeah. Then they would follow me and you know, they didn't get quite over as much as I was, but
cause you're so tall.
Cause I'm so tall and have a bunch of body roll. But, yeah, there was one spot where coming out of that area, it was, you just had to go up a little bit and then make this sharp turn right, go up and then sharp turn left. And in the snow, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You just don't make the turn. You end up, especially in a long wheelbase like a Tacoma, kind of get caught on the inside of the turn in the snow berm. And so Dimitri got stuck really bad and he had to winch. So we got to winch the Tacoma out once, which was fun. And then Ryan coming through afterwards, he just gunned it, red lined it and tried to get up through and wasn't able to make it being open. So, Dimitri just pulled him up and through.
Got it.
From there. I spent some time walking the 4Runner and getting some fun video. While they were dealing with that, I was up ahead and just like, well, they'll come catch up to me eventually. And then after a while they didn't. And I was like, okay, I should probably check in and see what's going on.
Yeah.
So I went back and got to play with the winch a little bit. And then we continued on. And at the turn from Wrights Lake Road into that 10-mile road, it's like Forest Road 52 or 32, I don't know, whatever it was. There's a good half a mile of no tracks whatsoever. Completely fresh, virgin snow.
Wow.
Five, 6 feet deep. And I was like,
I think I know that spot.
Too. Yeah, it's right. There's a, if you, in there's the summertime, there's a
huge sign, right?
There's a big sign and then there's a big meadow, like clearing, that they've cleared from the Caldor fire.
Okay.
So,
that's where I got stuck when we went up with the Mad Hatters. I was trying to turn around right there.
Gotcha. So, yeah, we went all the way up there, found, this beautiful fresh snow, and just going through snow that's about as deep as your 40-inch tires. And still just plowing forward and just going. And it was at the time of the day where the sun was starting to set. So it was like 3 o'clock, 2:30, three, somewhere around there. It was really cool just going through that little section with the sun rays coming through the trees. And I don't know, it was really neat.
Tyler was in his happy spot.
I was 100% in my happy spot. Yeah. So we went through there, and then after about half a mile, we found where people in 4x4s had come up from Ice House Reservoir towards Wrights Lake Road.
And they got that close.
And they got within a half a mile and then turned around.
Wow.
And so we found their turnaround spot, gotten that. And then from there, we just shot right on down. But it was a absolutely gorgeous day. We were expecting storms and 40 mile an hour winds all day long. And we had sun and maybe 5 mile an hour winds.
Wow.
I was just like,
that's crazy.
How did we luck out? How did we get this? It was pretty nutso. Absolutely amazing trip. The snow wheeling is my happy place. Like we said, it's what I live for. And so, the 4Runner did amazing. I never had to get pulled out of anywhere. I never had to winch. The tires, the Yokohamas behaved just like I wanted them to behave in the snow. So yeah, I had a really fun day and I enjoyed it a lot, and then aired up at the end of the day and drove home.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So you give the Yokohamas two thumbs up?
Two thumbs up. You just got to run them low pressure because they're beefier sidewalls.
Okay.
Yeah. You, in order to get those sidewalls to really flex and work for you, either they're load range D and I'm just having troubles getting them to flex, or they're just still new tires and I haven't really gotten them worn in, broken them in
yet. That could be.
So
you do have quite a bit of miles on them though.
I've probably got about 1,000, 1,500 miles on them now. Yeah. So, but you know, I've had two Rubicon trips, a Barrett Lake trip, and then some snow trips on them so far.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. But now that I know, I just got to go down to like one PSI. They are phenomenal in the snow and I'm really happy with them.
Cool.
Yeah. I was not happy at the beginning of the day. I was like, man, these should be working better. I'm at 3 PSI. How much lower do I need to go? And then I kind of took a second and thought about it. And I was like, I'm at 3, but the tires still are not pooching out the way I would want tires to pooch out. So once I went lower, I was like, all right, this is where it is. So yeah.
Nice. Well, it sounds like a wonderful day. Thanks for the invite. Absolutely
gorgeous. Well, you said you had stuff to do because I invited you out for the video with RTF. Yeah.
I don't know what I had going on though. Mm. I was sleeping in from the drinking at the speakeasy or something.
Yeah. All your gins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Fun weekend. A couple things I need to do with the 4Runner before winter fun is I need to pull the rear output off of the T case and redo that seal. And then just do a quick nut and bolt check on everything. The suspension's feeling a little bit loose and wobbly. So I just need to double check all that. I know my bolts like to loosen up. So.
True. Yeah. And that's one of the things I think was causing my vibration. Mm-hmm. That might be solved. I don't know. I just tightened all my suspension up like tight.
Yeah.
And I haven't driven it a lot since the Rubicon trip, but it didn't have a lot of vibrations since then.
Yeah.
I did have a wheel hop from my inner bead deflating.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I don't have all the answers if that's been solved yet or not, but mm-hmm. I would like to take up that wheel to get and put in another, tube on the inside of my tire, but I don't know if I'm going to have time for that before winter fun. I don't know. It should be, I should do it if I need to air down to one or zero.
Yeah.
Maybe it got a little higher on the priority list, but, we'll see. I want to get that done and I need to change the inner axle seals and, put the battery in. And I think I'll be ready to go.
That's not too bad.
No,
that's definitely doable before the weekend.
Yeah.
So
it's just some time.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm heading up Friday afternoon to Winter Fun. And then we're going to have the vendor booth open Friday evening while everyone's showing up and getting registered and picking up the registration packets. And then Saturday, I'm going to head over. I don't know what run is on Saturday. I think it's Frostbite Extreme that goes over to Lake Valley Reservoir.
Oh, cool.
It's the Genrite guys. So Corey, Jake Gallo, a bunch of the other guys, they run it on Saturday. And then I take out the Snowcat group on Sunday and run that same trail.
Got it.
So I go out with them Saturday to see the trail conditions.
Oh yeah.
So I can decide whether or not I really want to take Snowcat out there on Sunday if we need to pick a lower elevation trail because there's a lot of snow, which is what happened last year.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm going out there Saturday. And then we'll be back at the fairgrounds around 4 is what I'm hoping, for a vendor night, Saturday night and the dinner and the raffle and everything. And then Sunday, I'll be leading the Snowcat run. I know that there's a few listeners signed up on that run. Oh, so it'll be a really fun run on Sunday. I'm excited for.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Hope to see everybody up there, come up, support Cal 4 Wheel, get into that raffle, hang out, have some good food, get some drinks.
Yeah.
And, say hi.
Sounds good. I like it. We always look forward to hanging out with the listeners and everybody out at the Winter Fun Fest and other events. So come up and say hi, have some good food and enjoy some drinks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you have any, I got some feedback from episode 362, Jake Gallo. Jake Gleghorn.
Oh, Gleghorn. Okay.
Right. Wrote. And we had a few people say this on our podcast on the Facebook page also.
Okay.
That dielectric grease is an insulator. It is non-conductive.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it works exactly like Vaseline.
Perfect.
Yes.
So you can use Vaseline is what they're saying.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Nice.
Also any grease that you use, you have to, please use caution because it is an attractor to dirt and dust and grime.
Yeah.
So if you do goop up anything, it'll probably get dirty and be nasty and you don't want it there.
Get stuff grimy in there. Yeah.
He also said that solder connections are great because solder is anti-corrosive and you can still make a mechanical connection before soldering.
Nice. That makes sense.
Said, I melt solder in wires anywhere it's exposed before insulating for underground connections like Tyler's batteries.
That's smart. I didn't think about doing that.
Yeah. So melting solder into them and then connecting them.
Yeah. That's called tinning. I know that, but I didn't think about okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. I thought that people mainly did that just to ensure that you get good solder connection and connectivity between wires. I didn't necessarily think about doing it for anti-corrosive features of it.
Yeah.
That's smart. Okay.
He also went on to say, I've seen telco guys, I don't know what that is, completely submerge a nest of wires, spices in a box full of special grease. And we've done smaller connections in bags of special grease. Automotive is a different animal, but you get the idea.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. So in case the wire is in some grease and you can go almost anywhere and have a snorkel, you're going
to
need a snorkel.
So I just need to create a grease box around my batteries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. You can do that.
I can do that.
Totally. And it'll probably prevent any rust on the bracketry too.
True. Nice. That's a great feedback. And that's one of the reasons why I love doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. You get to learn some new stuff. So
yeah,
Yeah.
So if you have any feedback for us, you can always email us, Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. You can do like Jacob did and send us a message on Instagram. I will look over the Snail Trail 4x4 Instagram. Tyler's at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. Or you can always call in and we can play your messages. Do we have any messages?
I think we do. Did we want to do it on Monday or do it now?
Let's save it for Monday.
Okay.
If you want to phone in though and have us save your message, we can do that. You can call in at 916-345-4744.
Perfect. Yeah, we have a couple here. So we'll get to those on Monday's episode here. Yeah, that's all I got. We love hearing from you guys. So definitely call in, write in, phone in, message in, email in, bat signal us, whatever you want to do. We're good with it. And Jimmy, with all of that being said, do you have any final words for everybody?
Let's go snow wheeling.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Really?
Really.
Oh, okay.
What do you call an illegally parked frog?
Croaked? Croaked Parker?
Toad.
Oh, okay. Dang it.